It's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. Program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. Taking phone calls, hopefully, and going over some of the developments, the latest developments in this wacky world of ours. Where, I've been listening to a lot of old radio shows, really old ones, back from the late 80s that we used to do here. And, you know, it's just amazing how things have changed. And if I could go back in time and tell myself that this is how the world would be in the year 2005, I'd be calling campus security and saying there's a lunatic in the studio, not to mention a duplicate of myself. And it's just unbelievable the things that have taken place. But it's worthwhile if we can experience it all together, isn't it? Oh, boy. Every week there's just something different, and I'm sure our listeners can contribute to that. But seriously, you know, as long as we communicate and spread information, we can do something, hopefully, at least, feel like we're not alone. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Lots of letters, lots of people writing in to voice their various opinions, and outrage, too. If we don't get people outraged at us, we're doing something wrong. That's my motto. So by all means, if you're outraged, write to us. And if you're happy, write to us as well. Right now, most people seem to be outraged. I don't know how successful that means we are. But I think maybe most of our audience now is right wing. Yeah, I think that is the case, especially when I go off on guns. Boy, do I get mail about that. You communist, you heretic, you anti-God, anti-gun. God and gun have the same amount of letters. They both begin with G. What does that tell you? I don't know. But we're hearing from every crackpot out there from all different sides. And we love it. OTW at 2600.com. Please keep those... sometimes letters isn't the right word. Strings of words, sort of. Yeah. Just send them in. Send in your ideas, your opinions, your versions of facts. Because sometimes, boy, they really are versions, dub versions, if you will. Let's take a look at what's going on in the world, then we'll take a look at what's going on in some other versions of the world. And our phone number here, if you're listening to us live, which is Tuesday night, is 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. I see you calling. Yes, caller, I see you calling down there, but... you're wasting your time, unless you're on campus. If you're on campus and you only have to dial the five digits of 29872, unless you're there, you're going to be disconnected because the phone company... this is another thing we never would have believed back then. The phone company is so greedy now that they have to make money on the rings, and if someone doesn't pick up after, say, 12 rings, they'll just disconnect you and say, well, this call is going nowhere. Let's open up the line for somebody else. It's a sad fact of life. So wait for the signal, I guess. And if you're on the internet, of course, that signal will be 2 minutes delayed or so. And if you're listening in the future, there's just nothing we can do to help. Sorry. let's see what we have here. President George W. I know, I hate having to always start the show with those words, but it's a sad fact of life. President George W. Bush said Tuesday, that's today, that it is simply ridiculous. Boy, what I could do with those words. To assume that the United States has plans to attack Iran over its alleged nuclear weapons program after discussing the issue with European allies. Which means that it's simply ridiculous to interpret Bush's words of the past to mean anything conclusive. Because certainly everything he said in the past indicates that he has every intention of stopping them by whatever means necessary. But it's simply ridiculous to interpret that the way it sounds. Okay, I can sort of follow that, I guess. This notion that the United States is getting ready to attack Iran is simply ridiculous. Having said that, all options are on the table, Bush said, including sending earthquakes their way. I don't know how they pulled that off, but boy. Yeah, so Iran is still developing nuclear power and or nuclear weapons, and the Russians are helping them. And, you know, why would a country, we talked about this a little bit last week, why would a country want nuclear weapons? To protect themselves against outside threats, I guess. I mean, I'm not really into this whole nuclear thing, but if you have to try and understand it, that's one way of doing it. And if there's any country that has been threatened, it certainly is Iran, because of all the nonsense that we're spouting in their direction, Syria too, North Korea. So yeah, I see why they want to have nukes, and I see no reason to stop them except for the fact that I think all nukes are bad. And if you take them away from one country, you should take them away from all countries. Now, of course, those countries that are convicted felons or sex offenders, they shouldn't have nukes. But I don't think any court of law has actually convicted any of these countries of those offenses, so it's very hard for the United States, just because we're the biggest kids on the block, to say, you can have nukes and you can't. You know? It's okay to allow a country like Israel to have nukes, but not a country like Iran, not a country like North Korea, you know? You can sort of see why the rest of the world doesn't fall into step. So we need a consistent policy. So anyway, this week we're not going to be attacking Iran, but who knows? Who knows? Bush said it's not in our it's in our interests for them not to have a nuclear weapon. And our interests are what matter above anything else for the whole rest of the world. Incredible. Let's see what else is happening. Oh, this is just another example of craziness. The USS Jimmy Carter. Now, don't confuse the submarine with the man. The man was the president. This is the submarine. The USS Jimmy Carter was set to join the nation's submarine fleet on Saturday. And it has some special capabilities, unlike the man. It will be able to tap undersea cables and eavesdrop on the communications passing through them. Yeah, the Navy does not acknowledge that. How much do you think a submarine costs? How much do you think a submarine costs? Anybody? $1 million. Good guess. $10 million? That's a lot more. $100 million. Oh, come on, this is getting ridiculous. $100 million for something that goes underwater? Try this. Try reality. $3.2 billion. I mean, that's probably more than Jimmy Carter made while he was president. $3.2 billion for a single submarine. Anyway, it's the third and last of the Seawolf class of attack subs. I guess they've gone bankrupt. The people buying them, that is. Representative Rob Simmons, Republican, former CIA officer, whose district includes Groton, Connecticut. That's the place with all the nuclear submarines parked. Within shouting distance of here, in fact. Yes, that's right. Nuclear submarine. We might have shut down Shoreham, but we still have nuclear submarines parked very nearby. Occasionally, somebody goes over there and throws blood on the submarines and gets arrested for terrorism. Yeah. Anyway, this is a representative from that area, so you know that he's in their pocket. There are limits to what I can say on the sub's capabilities, but let's just say the Jimmy Carter is uniquely capable to perform missions vitally important to the war on terror. Now, what in God's name does that mean? The war on terror? Everything is the war on terror. It's just basically a euphemism for being able to do whatever we feel like and get away with it. So now the thing is, we can eavesdrop on fiber optic cables without any regard to all of the millions of innocent conversations going on there. We can just tap in whenever we feel like, wherever we feel like, regardless of the rest of the world. You know, because those fiber optic cables are not just carrying American conversations. They're carrying all kinds of things. Oh, yes, we should give up our freedoms for the fight on terror. Do you support terrorism? No? Well, then you have to support this. It's simple. And simplicity sells. I'll admit, one of my evil habits is watching the TV show 24, which used to be on Tuesday nights. I have to race home to see it, but now it's on Monday nights. They responded to my letters. And the premise in that show is basically 24 hours going by where this one agent named Jack Bauer has to stop some kind of terrorist from doing something. And this year it's the Arabs. He has to stop the evil Arabs from doing something horrible, melting down all the nuclear power plants in this country. And it's funny because they run a little spot sometimes that says, this is Kiefer Sutherland, I play Jack Bauer, and not all Arabs are evil, so please just remember that as we present this show, presenting the fact that all Arabs are evil. It's really funny to see that spot being pitched, obviously in reaction to some people being outraged, and rightfully so, of this overwhelmingly negative portrayal. You know, the guy who makes the show is a devout right winger in the first place. But more importantly than just the labeling of people as evil, because, you know, that's easy to see through. It's easy to realize that that's just a pile of crap. But what's worse, I think, is the way they just sort of tackle technological issues. Now, first of all, they get it completely wrong, all right? Just the way that they say certain things can be done. For instance, this season began, and I hope I'm not ruining for anybody who waits for the DVDs or anything like that, you might want to tune away for this portion. But basically, the Secretary of Defense is kidnapped. And can you imagine that happening in real life? Things like that don't happen. They just don't happen. I mean, you know, maybe it's wishful thinking on their part, but boy, you know, we don't live in that kind of a society where government officials and politicians are kidnapped or killed or anything like that. The last time anything like that even happened was when President Ford got shot at by Charles Manson's loony people twice. Well, one time they showed a gun, the other time they actually shot at him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Reagan got shot, of course. All right, that was it. I think that was the end of it. Nothing since then. Well before the war on terror started. So, but anyway, on TV, this happens all the time. The Secretary of Defense and his daughter, who this special agent happens to be going out with, never mind, that's not important, they're kidnapped and held on trial by the evil Arabs in a warehouse somewhere in Southern California, because that's close to where they're filming. And their intent is to have a trial and broadcast the trial over the internet. And all of a sudden, everybody is able to get the internet and have, you know, full motion video on every single screen imaginable. And the bandwidth is simply able to handle this, no problem at all. Everybody can watch the trial. It's like having another TV station. All right, so this is happening. The trial is about to begin. Everybody is tuning in on the internet. Now, obviously, they can find out where this is. Obviously, they can shut it down. Obviously, they can just cut the power or cut the feed to wherever this thing is emanating from. There's all kinds of things they can do. But what's even more amazing is that this entire thing is simply a smokescreen. It's simply a smokescreen so that the internet will be all tied up with people watching the trial, so that they can plant a virus in every single nuclear power plant in America. I mean, you know, they must come up with these ideas in like 5 minutes or something, with no technological background whatsoever. First of all, the obvious question is, if this was the case, if the internet is being tied up with all this nonsense, how in the world do the people planting the virus get around it? And how come they can get around it, but nobody else can? That's never explained. All right, that's just a silliness. That's just a silliness. And, of course, having a device that can override all nuclear power plants in the country and not be overridden itself, that's really just plain stupidity. But here's the thing. Whenever there's a suspect, whenever there's a suspect that needs to be found or chased or monitored, it's just a simple phone call to the counterterrorism unit in Los Angeles, which is always about 3 minutes away by car from any place in the world, because this show is supposedly told in real time. Whenever they need to monitor somebody, all they have to do is make a phone call and, yes, okay, let's listen to all cell phone calls in this area. Too late? Okay, let's listen to all cell phone calls that took place in the last 2 hours in this area. You know, and basically, it's wishful thinking for those people who want to be able to monitor everybody at all times. There's always a way of doing it. There's a way of having a camera watch somebody no matter where they are, a way of hearing what they're saying no matter where they are. And a lot of these things do not exist, but a lot of these things will exist. And when they come into being, people will say, I thought that already existed. I saw it on TV. So, you know, it's... And the other thing that they get away with here, and this is the case, I think, in a lot of television programs, so maybe people can let me know if this is true, but torture... Torture is widely becoming acceptable if it's done for the right reasons. This would never have played out even 5 years ago, I don't think it would have. Maybe even less than that. So they have these situations where somebody is accused of something, including their own agents, and in one case, wrongfully so, including the son of the Secretary of Defense. And remember, this is all fiction, but still, it's kind of interesting. And in each of these cases, they assume that the person knew something. And so, without any hemming and hawing, they simply take them into a room and start torturing them. Really torturing them. And in at least two cases, it was innocent people, or what seemed like innocent people at this point in time. But are there any ramifications? No. We had no choice. That's what they say. We had no choice. In fact, last night, one of the characters who was falsely accused and tortured expressed her outrage by demanding a pay raise. Yeah, you tortured me. I want a pay raise. That's that'll settle things. That'll make it all right. Maybe we can link torture to pay raises from now on. My God. I mean, you know, what kind of a society are we building where torture is acceptable? And of course, you know, you're only going to hear about the cases where torture yielded some information. But think of all the cases where it didn't, where you tortured the wrong person, or you tortured somebody who honestly didn't know anymore. And what about the people doing the torturing? How do you think it changes them? What about all these people over in Iraq that are involved in these things? When they come back, what kind of people do you think they're going to be? You know, it's really nuts what's happening, both in real life and in fiction. And it's important to keep track of both. It really is, so that we can be aware of how crazy things are. I mean, I know so many people say, I don't watch television. I don't watch television. It's all evil, which is the stupidest thing I think you could possibly say. All right, yeah, I know there's a lot of crap on TV. There's a lot of crap on TV, but you know what? There's a lot of crap in books too. Do you say I don't read? Try that. Hey, this great book. No, I don't read. Too much crap. I don't read at all. Movies? No, don't watch movies. Hollywood? No, can't watch independent movies either because of Hollywood. You know, it's so silly. There's a lot of good stuff on television if you look for it. Things like Link TV, things like, you know, well, there's not much, okay, but there's, it's out there. It's out there. You just have to do a little bit of digging. Yeah, avoid the garbage. Avoid the nonsense. It's not hard. So anyway, yeah, we're living in a fantastic world, and I don't mean fantastic in the good sense, just a world that's unbelievable in many, many ways. And communicating and spreading information is something that I think is our duty, our responsibility. I'm going to give you an example of this. There's a story floating around. Actually, I'm not sure how much this story is floating around. Actually, I'm in the process of finding out if this story actually has gotten out beyond... where I was able to find it. But basically, there's a case in New Jersey of, and this is something that I think is being replicated all over America, a school where a student would not stand for, I guess this is the national anthem, not the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm not sure how schools work these days. Schools are alien territories to me. Back when I went to school, it wasn't that long ago. All right, it was high school back in the 70s, late 70s. There were no security guards. There were no metal detectors. There were no drug tests. There were no pledges of allegiance. You know, there were open campuses. There was a degree of respect and freedom. Not much, I know, because we were complaining about it all the time. But it was so different, so completely alien to what we're seeing now. And what we're seeing now is just becoming acceptable to everybody. And that's sad. That's really sad. I don't think you should accept it ever. All right, now I'm looking here, and this story has really only shown up on some independent media sites, including indiemedia.org. But basically, let me play you some audio. All right, this is what happened. These kids recorded the teacher, and you will not believe this is a teacher. Maybe some of you go to school, maybe this is what teachers sound like now. To me, he sounds like a drill sergeant. All right, this is a teacher demanding that people stand up for the national anthem, which I don't think it's a national anthem they play. But whatever, whatever patriotic fervor that gets unleashed on them, they must stand. And what happens is one kid doesn't stand. And I don't think it's for political reasons. Maybe he was just being lazy. But the fact is, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand. Yeah, you should be quiet because the teacher says to be quiet. But this guy has obviously lost control of his class long before then. So you'll hear the kids acting kind of stupid, you know, making noises into the camera and things like that. And you'll hear what happens when he yells at the kid who refuses to stand up. And I'll give you some more information after that. But just listen to this and tell me if this isn't something we should be concerned with.
Now stand up and keep your mouth shut!
This is the best Photoshop.
Boogie Woogie Woo.
Stand
you
up.
Have to
no,
stand.
I don't. No, no. Are you kidding me?
Stand.
Are you serious?
I am damn well serious.
Holy Lord. You're going to seriously take a chair from underneath me? This is us.
Okay, well, there we are. That's the situation in our nation's schools right now. Now, there are a couple of things that need to be pointed out, because they're not being pointed out in the places that are talking about this. I want to be fair here. The kid didn't fall on his ass, for one thing, all right? Basically, you know, he stood up immediately as soon as the chair was pulled out from under him. Okay, not really the point, but just so that people know that what the facts are. And he also, he questioned the teacher, as you could hear, are you serious? Are you actually going to pull a chair out from under me like this? And then he stormed out of the room and slammed the door behind him. So, you know, there is something against this kind of a thing. It's not like the teacher was able to force him to stand up and be loyal and all that kind of a thing. In fact, the teacher didn't really seem to say much at that point. Maybe he realized he had gone too far. I don't know. Point is, this video, and obviously you didn't see the video part of it, was made available. It's on the internet. It's all over the place. At least in some circles, it's all over the place. I haven't seen it on any mainstream news, and I think this is a mainstream issue. But when brought to the attention of the school, which is the Brick Township Public Schools of Brick, New Jersey, this specifically is Brick Township High School, the response was to suspend the student who made the tape for 10 days. That was the response, because in their wacky view of the world, he should have gotten permission from the teacher first before he filmed this. I mean, that's just so insane and crazy, but that's how they think. No action taken against the teacher. No action whatsoever. Now, you know, I gotta tell you, I would not get along in today's schools. Because I would not have been as subdued as that kid was. Believe me, I would not have been as subdued as that kid was. If someone had done that kind of a thing to me, there would have been all kinds of words spoken that probably would have been regrettable, but you know, in a situation like that, you have all of your buttons pushed, and you sort of have to move into fourth gear right then and there. You can't tolerate this kind of nonsense. First of all, having a teacher screaming at you like that is insane. Now, yeah, these kids, you can hear, they're, you know, kind of out of control to start with. But I still want to know which came first. And is that really, you know, the way of dealing with it? This guy obviously does not command respect. And this kind of way of dealing with people, intimidation, is not the way to solve the problem. Clearly, it's not the way to solve the problem. If you can't control kids in a classroom, maybe you shouldn't be a teacher. You know, it's as simple as that. Because the right approach does work. But the more important issue, I feel, is this forcing people to stand, and it was the national anthem, to stand for the national anthem, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, when clearly that is not how it works. You have the right to sit down. And I'd like to, you know, I don't want to put anybody in an uncomfortable position. And if I was in a situation where I could do this myself, I would. All right? But just so that you can honor the ideas and ideals of this country and the things that our brave men and women have been fighting for, I would ask people to stand up for those rights. You know? To stand up for them. And in this case, how do you stand up for them? By sitting down. That's right. Stand up for your right to sit down. That's I think, what the slogan should be. The next time you're in a situation where you're told to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance or even asked, exercise your right to sit down. You don't have to be anti-American. You don't have to be even anti-current policy. What you do have to be is aware of what your rights are. And prepared to stand up for those rights, to defend yourself. If you can see the bigger picture, you know, if you see beyond your own ideas as to how you think things are going or what you respect, then you should be able to realize that this is something that is important. So, any event, give you some information in case people want to write in to this school or find out more information about this guy. Basically, it's Brick Township High School. They're located at 346 Chambers Bridge Road, Brick, New Jersey, 08723. Phone number 732-262-2500. Teacher's name, Stuart Mantell. And, you know, I'm not one for, you know, for taking away this guy's job or making his life miserable. I believe people can change. People can learn. It's what school's supposed to be. And that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the guy learn. Acknowledge that this is the wrong thing to do. And if people, you know, it's funny because I don't think the kid here was challenging it on idealistical grounds. He just didn't feel like standing up. Whatever. It doesn't have to be on ideological grounds. But the way we have to approach this, the way we have to fight this kind of a thing, there's got to be a lot of ideology there, obviously. Okay, so that's some of what's happening. That's unbelievable. It really is. I wish I could get tested like that. I really do. You know? Stand up for the pledge. No. I won't. I won't do it. And I like to hear from people. Ask them if they stand up or sit down when this is done. Funny, they didn't do it in my high school. I don't think they did it anywhere. I think this is something fairly new. And this whole under God thing, that's a whole other issue. But I'd like to hear from people if they actually stand or don't stand, or if there are people in their classroom who stand or don't stand, what happens to them, any kind of pressure, that kind of a thing. Because if suddenly, you know, hundreds, thousands of kids just started not standing as a statement that they're aware of what they have the right to do and what they do not have the right to do. You know, it might wake some people up. All right. Let's take a couple of calls. 631-632-9872. We have some more stories to read. We can go on all night, but unfortunately, we can't. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
You know who this is, right?
Say one more word.
One more word?
You're Chris Crowley, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How about that?
Maybe.
You know, it's funny you should call because I was talking about the old radio shows, and you're on the old radio shows a lot. Chris Crowley, of course, a longtime member of WUSB, former program director, and you've done all kinds of things at this place.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad.
So I have a comment on the whole standing up thing.
Okay.
Hey, hold on. Rob Franz and I were at a baseball game.
Rob Franz being another longtime WUSB staff member.
And we didn't stand up during the whole thing. I'm not sure why.
Wait, they have like a seventh inning thing now too, right?
Well, that's it. We didn't stand up for the seventh inning stretch, and we almost got killed.
Really?
Yeah. People were like violent. Like, it's okay if you don't stand up for the Star Spangled Banner, but seventh inning stretch, that's sacred.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Correct me if I'm wrong. The seventh inning stretch now has some kind of patriotic song. It's God Bless America, I believe, right?
No.
It's not? No song?
Not.
It's just the seventh inning stretch?
Not when we were there. It's just the seventh inning stretch. And friends are like, Crowley, come on, get up.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
All right, well, that just goes to show that our values are all askew.
Well, you know that also they have to do the pledge at school every day, right?
Well,
or at least in the Three Villages.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when we went to school, they didn't do that, right?
They did it when I went to private school, but not to public school.
Yeah, we went to Ward Melville High School, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of this nonsense.
I don't remember it.
Hmm.
Do you remember doing it ever?
No, the only time I stood up was when, like, a bully told me to stand up. But, you know, the teachers didn't have any authority.
Yeah.
But
you
now,
were there a long time before I was there.
Well, no, not that long ago. But, you know, the thing is, it was a different world. We didn't have to go through metal detectors and security guards and things like that. Remember Ward Melville campus? You could walk to the bagel store if you didn't have a class. You do remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was open campus back then.
Open campus. Open minds.
Yeah.
You know, and today it's insanity.
Speaking of which, good to know that you think I'm an idiot now.
I do?
Yeah, because I refuse to watch television. Well, I don't refuse to. I just choose not to watch television.
Do you know how many good things you're missing on television? Programs like Arrested Development, for instance, or perhaps a Frontline documentary, Democracy Now!, which is on television now.
Now it's on TV?
Yeah. See, you don't know these things because you don't have the boob tube.
Yeah, but you think I want to cough up? What is it now for cable? Like $50 a month?
Let me fill you in on a secret here.
I'm going to get Democracy Now! Over an antenna.
Well, okay, yeah, but they do use antenna, you know, for some. There are PBS stations that carry things like that. The thing is, you know, the more channels you get, the more crap you'll get, but also the more quality you'll find. You'll have, like, you know, the Sundance Channel or something like that. Yeah, it costs money. But then again, going to movies costs money. Buying books costs money.
Yeah, well, I'd rather spend my money buying books and buying DVDs of movies that I like and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
But, I mean, can you deny that there are decent productions going on?
Well, there's definitely, but...
How do you find out about them, then, if you cut yourself off from the medium?
Well, it's like, you know, I'm sort of cut out from the media altogether because I don't really pay attention to general news.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing. That was the other half of that equation I didn't get to. People cut themselves off from TV, and then they say they don't read the newspaper either because that's too unpleasant and depressing. And, you know, the result then is that all these policies and changes in society get passed, and we're kind of powerless to do anything about it because it's already too late.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, I thought I got cut off right
now. Nah. It's just our Roam phone system, but never mind that. But you see, it's like, you know, if you cut yourself off from what's going on in the world, even if it's unpleasant, I think you wind up losing. You know, you have to be aware of the bad things that are happening.
The thing is, I hardly have time to do the things I like doing as it is.
Well, that's the thing. They keep you so busy that you don't have time to realize that everything's falling apart around you.
Maybe if they had TV on the Long Island Railroad.
Don't give them ideas because, you know, they have it every place else. But if they did, they just have the crap, you know, like Entertainment Tonight or something.
Well, they put the TVs on the platforms like at Hicksville and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really seen them on too often, at least during the rush commute.
You see, it would really be much better if people could choose what they want to see. Like if everybody could get BBC, for instance, that would be good. People would learn something. But, you know, you have all the garbage that's spewed in our direction, and you don't really have that much of a choice. So, yeah, it's a big problem. And you know, the signal-to-noise ratio is unbelievable.
So how do you find out about the programs that you like on TV?
Basically word of mouth, mostly. You know, sometimes people in various forums that I'm a part of mention something. They say, this is pretty good, this is pretty funny. Sometimes a friend, sometimes just by accident. But, you know, there are some really good, like, sort of countercultural programs out there. Some of them even on the mainstream networks, but most of them in various other places. A lot of good films that you never would see ordinarily if you didn't have one of these little boxes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is, and I'm not including you on this, but the funny thing is that a lot of these people who are so, you know, countercultural and you know, refuse to have a TV in their home, they always are going out to see the latest Hollywood blockbuster, and they know all the facts about the movie stars. It's just so annoying.
Why? Who's like that?
Well, you want me to name names on the air? There's plenty of people like that.
I don't know anybody that is so anti... Well, not... I don't think I'm anti-TV. It's just that I got better things to do with my time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we all have better things to do with our time. And I'm not saying people should, you know, stick in front of the TV set all the time and, you know, even if nothing's on. I'm just saying that sometimes there's something good on, like really good, and I like to tell people about it, and instead I get the speech about, I don't watch TV. And, you know, it's kind of annoying and frustrating.
Great things like that Family Bonds TV show?
That was a good show. I like that show. Yeah, so it actually takes place around here. Family Bonds, like... this guy who runs a bail bonding agency, whatever you call the thing, and it's in Suffolk County, or at least he lives in Suffolk County. You know, there's something wacky about that because I'm sure I would disagree with these people on every issue imaginable, but there's something about them that just is appealing, and I can't put it into words.
Like to just watch them in their daily life?
I guess. You know, I could just go down to the mall and probably do that anyway. But it's just kind of fun to see... You know, your local area being presented as sort of an interesting place.
That's it. You don't really do stuff like go to the mall and things like that.
No. I avoid the mall like the plague.
See, if you went to the mall, you wouldn't find that show so entertaining.
Well, that's something to be said for that. Although I don't think they ever went to the mall in that show.
Yeah.
They go to the nail salon a lot, but I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But sort of like how The Sopranos made New Jersey interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody hated New Jersey, and now all of a sudden, you know, you got some gangsters shooting people. Wow, New Jersey's an interesting place to go. I got to check that out. Culture is just weird. So, Chris, anything else?
Call me up after the show, okay?
Call you after the show. Okay. Any other personal messages you'd like to use our transmitter for?
No, thanks.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. 631-632-9872, the voice of Chris Crowley, who you will be able to hear many times when we put the 1988 brain damages up, which should be later this week, actually. Boy, some of them are pretty interesting. A lot of fun things going on in the world back then as well. Let's see. You know, I asked for comments a couple of weeks ago about the corporate intelligence features that we were doing. I got to say, I think people are changing. I really did. I think people are changing. I don't think people have a sense of humor anymore. Everyone's taking things so seriously. Listen to this. I just heard today's corporate intelligence is where we call people in various companies and we ask them questions about their companies and we see if they know the answer, such as what's the first name of Barnes and Barnes and Noble? When did 7-Eleven, what does 7-Eleven mean? What is the word 7-Eleven? Things like that, you know? Not in a mean-spirited way, just kind of to find out if people really know anything about their corporations. Someone called me and asked me what WUSB meant, what WBAI meant. I knew the answers. Yes. I know what 2600 means, too. You know, it's you should know what the company you're working for is all about, good and bad. Anyway, I just heard today's corporate intelligence bit. Don't you have to warn people when they are broadcast over the air? Okay, let me explain something. Yes, you do. If you're calling somebody in their home, for instance, if I picked up the phone right now and I called Chris Crowley at his house, and I didn't tell him he was on the air, that would be wrong. That would be a violation. All right. If, however, Chris Crowley is an information operator, all right, and he is simply sitting in his cubicle, picking up thousands of phone calls every hour, I do not have to say, excuse me, information operator, we're putting you on the air. Is that okay? Because he is a drone at that point. He is just simply one of many, and he has no identity, no name. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing. But that's basically what it entails. If you're calling a representative of a company, it would be insane. I mean, if you listen to what we've done over the years, calling operators all over the world and various representatives and things like that, you know, if you had to ask every single one of them, by the way, you're on the radio, first of all, it would change their response or maybe, you know, terminate the conversation right there. And it would be a big waste of time. And it's not what the law is about, or regulation, or whatever it is. That's to protect people's privacy, and no one's privacy is being invaded in this way. All right. So that's cleared up. Let's see. Where was I in this letter? Let's see. Are you not violating these people's rights for a little comedy? I don't think so. I think we're getting a little too serious here. Besides, not only are these minimum wage workers on our side, oh boy, here we go, but I don't blame them for not giving a damn about Barnes's first name. That's not the point! That wasn't the point! This isn't like some, you know, worker struggle against the, you know, the evil machine. We're just calling people to see if they know anything about the company they work for and to see what kind of misinformation they might give us. We're not prying into their personal lives or their ideology or anything like that. Anyway, I know from experience that at places like that, the smartest people are on the way out, scamming the employer and doing the least amount of work possible. The bid is insulting to people who need to work crappy jobs to survive, and please count this as my vote to chuck it back in the vault. Signed, JT from Canada, who claims to own a smart car. Oh, boy. Anyway, let's check out another letter. Emmanuel, I enjoy your program and listen every week. I often listen with my roommates and friends and found that last week I was rather embarrassed, actually 2 weeks ago, to be playing a radio program airing a segment on corporate stupidity. Actually, it's called Corporate Intelligence. You just interpreted it as sarcasm. The segment involved calling Barnes & Noble employees and asking them for Barnes' full name. I found this to be reminiscent of more mainstream shock jocks that play games on people on the air. You really think they do things like that? You know, the shock jocks I've heard by accident are, you know, it goes well beyond asking what someone's first name is. The kind of conversations that make you cringe to listen to. I try to be nice. I try to be respectful. I thank people. I don't make fools of them. I don't tell them to, like, take their top off or whatever it is that the shock jocks do. Anyway, I don't think a failure to be well-informed about the full name of the founder, your company... The founder of your company is indicative of stupidity, and I don't think I ever said it was. It's really not all that important. Well, maybe not to you, but I wanted to know. I wanted to know who Barnes was. Anyway, one woman told you information that contradicted what you found on Barnes & Noble's website. You never mentioned the possibility. Actually, I didn't find it there. I found it somewhere else. I forget where. I wish I could cite the source, but, you know, I could even be wrong on that. It's quite possible, but I don't think I am. You never mentioned the possibility that maybe she was right and you were reading a marketing lie designed to make the company seem more homegrown. Well, then, you know, if that's the case, then they should know about the lie, right? Anyway, Wendy's did the same thing. Did they? I don't know. I'd like to know more about that. I'm sure if I called Wendy's, they could tell me all kinds of facts about Dave Thomas. You know? But maybe... It's weird how they're using his image in the commercials now. Now that he's, you know, dead and all that, they're still using him. I think that's kind of wrong, even though he probably approved. Anyway, you just chalked her up as a stupid American, which I never said or implied, and I think that's unfair. Well, there's the old straw man for you. I think it's important to let companies and media know how I feel because I think they don't get enough feedback when people are unhappy with their product. In that vein, I don't wish to make my first communication with you to be entirely negative because I really do enjoy your program. So I will say that I really enjoyed your segment on the Christian right outing SpongeBob as tolerance propaganda. You said that other Christian organizations should speak up against the right, that not all Christians want this, or they'll be lumped in with the right. I think that was brilliantly put. They can't all be as crazy as the vocal right. Maybe their vocal minority would hold less power when declaring boycotts on things like the movie Dogma if they would just make their voices heard. Thanks for your program. Mike from Boston. And, you know, we got a bunch of letters, and most of them seem to be like that now. It's weird, you know, because that's not the way people would have reacted years ago. Or maybe the people that like the feature just are shy or feel that they shouldn't write in. I don't know. We've gotten a few, examples of support. Like, this person wants to know if we can ask T-Mobile what the T stands for. I know what the T stands for. Another person wrote in asking us if we could ask FedEx employees if they know where the arrow is in their logo. That's right, there's an arrow in the logo of FedEx. I'd like to have more fun with FedEx, actually. Because FedEx means Federal Express. And what do they call their express service? They call it FedEx Express. So I'd like to get an employee to say it stands for Federal Express Express. You know, I'm not saying that they're stupid. I'm saying that they, you know, their company has some silly things sometimes. Anyway, if you want to write to us, otw@2600.com. That's one of several different features that we have sometimes. We're not going to have it tonight. We don't have time. Here's some other letters. Dear Manuel, I'm another hardcore fan of all your shows, living in Seattle. Just wanted to drop a line. Thank you for doing what you do. I find myself relating to what you say, and I've heard enough of your thoughts to know that we are very much in sync. Have you checked out the Mayan calendar at all? Well, we just got out of sync there. Does the year 2012 mean anything to you? Signed, Meadow. Oh, well, you know, I don't know. Let's see what happens in 2012. Oh, boy. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the air.
Manuel, how you doing?
How you doing?
Very good. Listen, quickly, just with that Pledge of Allegiance, I was in the elementary school in the 70s. We definitely stood up in elementary school.
Yes, I stood up in elementary school. You are right about that.
Yeah, as far as junior high school, though, no, we weren't required or mandated to do that.
Well, obviously, these kids were not in elementary school, so I'm not sure if things have changed. From what I hear from high school kids today, there's a lot they have to do that we didn't have to do.
Yeah, I'm hearing that from my children as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So do they stand or sit or what?
You know what? I never did even ask them about that. That's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Ask them. He just actually put a thought in my head.
Well, it's good that, you know, you don't demand that they do something. They have some sort of choice, at least with you.
No, yeah, absolutely not. I mean, I tell them to be respectful for people who do and be respectful, and I tell them the reason why people do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't demand them to do it, no.
Good. Excellent. Well, let us know how things turn out.
I certainly will. Also, this technology with this sub listening in on underground telecommunications cables is not new.
Uh-huh.
The Navy's been doing this for a number of years. I know we spied on the Russians by tapping into some of their lines. Actually, right off of the coast of Russia, we did it.
Uh-huh.
It was a pretty secret operation. I know I saw that on, like, a Discovery or a History.
But maybe it wasn't so blatant, you know, where we're saying, you were going to be doing this. You know, maybe it's just something that they did secretly back then.
Yeah, right, exactly. We did do it secretly. Now they're just basically just coming out and boasting about it, sure.
I know. That's what's weird.
Right. And just one last thing I want to leave you with.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that Iran, they had coordinated demonstrations today by the Iranian Kurds against the current regime in Iran?
No, I hadn't heard about that. I just heard about the earthquake.
Yeah, I heard a quick little thing about that. There was demonstrations and whatnot going on and against the powers that be over there. Just something to think about. I know Bush in his inauguration speech said, we stand with the Iranian people, you know, if you want to be free and democratic, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
You know, we are supporting the Kurds basically over in Iraq. Just maybe a little what they call stirring the pot might be going on behind
us. Oh, definitely stirring the pot. I'll have to check in 10 years and see where the Kurds stand there. I'll bet they'll be enemies of us then, you know, because they'll be too nationalistic or something, or just not in keeping with our particular style of government.
History repeats itself, right, everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
And last week we issued a challenge to people to write in and give us an example of a positive use of AK-47s in society today. You know, not simply having a gun, which I'm not saying is a bad thing in and of itself, even though I'm accused of that constantly. You know, listen to the rest of this letter I started to read last week. You also challenged the Second Amendment, saying that if it was there to give us a tool to defend our rights, then why not use it right now, seeing what our government has been up to? Okay. And my answer to that is, you're right. But because you have already let yourself be disarmed, the fight is over. The fight is over. Did you hear that? You will continue to get thrown into warehouses behind bars. Oh, that's a shot, isn't it? And there isn't anything you can do. So basically, because I've let myself be disarmed, the fight's over. And I helped and continue to help everyone get defeated by being anti-gun. Well, first of all, if the fight is over, then why even have the discussion anymore? Second of all, the period of time, and he's referring to during the Republican convention when I got swept up with a whole bunch of people and locked in a warehouse by the NYPD. You're saying if I had had guns, or if more people had guns, that wouldn't have happened. What would we have done? Open fire on the cops or something? Or just brandished our AK-47s or our weapons of any sort? Is that really what it's all about? Is that really what the Second Amendment give us the right to do? I'm seriously asking. Do you think the police, this is what the letter writer says, do you think the police could get away with stripping away people's rights if the people were allowed their Second Amendment rights and were all carrying? Oh, boy. You know, somehow I think maybe it would be a lot worse if everybody was carrying. Maybe a lot more people would be surrounded by well-armed men. And there'd be a lot more shootouts in the street. I don't know. You know, I don't think law is going to change based on who's carrying and who isn't. But I'd like to see examples of that as well. I'd like to ask people who take this position, what do you think about Malcolm X? Okay, because Malcolm X is right there with you. I found that most pro-gun zealots, and I mean that, you know, in the most respectful of terms, most pro-gun people don't seem to like Malcolm X or what he stands for. I've noticed this. I don't know if it's a coincidence or what. But Malcolm X believed that he should be able to carry weaponry and use it by any means necessary. So, okay, here's a guy who has some legitimate beefs with the government. Do you support him? Do you stand behind him when he exercises those rights? I doubt it. And I doubt anybody else who stands up for those rights is going to be supported by anybody other than a very select few, which kind of makes the whole thing a big waste of time and blood. Anyway, continuing with the challenge, I have to say we didn't really get any definitive responses. Here's one. I just finished listening to last week's show. Would like to give you an instance where law-abiding citizens protected their lives and property with AKM-style semi-automatic rifles. And, of course, there's a whole big thing here about the proper terminology, which I'm going to skip because, okay, you know, I accept that. But I'm going to continue using the phrase AK-47 just because it's quicker and whatever. Anyway, during the 1992 LA riots, groups of law-abiding Korean Americans protected their lives and property for hordes of looting African Americans. They armed themselves with AKM-style rifles equipped with high-capacity magazines and took up tactical positions in front and on the roofs of their establishments. The show of force alone persuaded most of the black criminals from looting and burning the Korean stores. I think there are several cases where the Koreans lit up some of the marauding African Americans. I don't even know what that means. But the exact casualty rate is not known for sure. Subsequently, the criminals moved on and chose unarmed victims to rape and pillage. Okay, well, and during the decades, the American Rifleman has published the Armed Citizens column, where thousands of incidents of law-abiding citizens using firearms to halt or prevent crime have appeared in the magazine. Well, that's exactly what I asked you not to send in. I want to see this. And don't tell me the mainstream media doesn't cover it, because the mainstream media is right-wing, all right? So they would cover it. They would cover cases of people using guns to protect themselves and you know, keep criminals from committing crimes. For instance, there was a case last week where a pregnant woman was able to kill her attacker who wanted to pull the baby out of her womb. Boy, this is a crazy world we live in. And raise it as her own. All right? She was able to ward off that person and kill them. Of course, she used a knife, so it doesn't help you guys any. I'm sorry. But it does get coverage. All right. Let's see, here's another letter. It seems to me you are losing sight of the big picture when you talk about gun control. The real problem is the society using the guns. We never had this problem 50 years ago. It is true that guns are more powerful now than 50 years ago, but people were more open with their guns, and it was more common to carry them around freely than, as in shotguns and rifles, in their cars for hunting. Guns are not going away anytime soon. No one in control is going to wake up tomorrow and say we should restrict dangerous weapons. We need to ask ourselves, why is this happening in our country when countries with similar cultures and the same weapons have no such problems? Well, you know, I would debate if countries where people are carrying around automatic and semi-automatic weaponry on a, you know, common basis don't have problems like this. I think a lot of them do. But yes, you raise some good points. It is a society issue. And that's something that has to be dealt with as well. There are many other societies where basically people are just more educated and more competent with certain things, guns included. And that's something that we need to focus our attention on here as to why that is not the case. And here's another letter. Remember about 1986, someplace down south, there was a union protest for workers' rights and solidarity. On national TV, about seven men jumped out of a van in front of the police and national media and mowed down a ton of demonstrators using AK-47s. None of the murders were charged. The whole thing, as I recall, ran for one day on the news. Was this defending democracy? People younger than my age of 32 don't know about this, and older people tend to have forgotten. Well, you know, I never heard of this either. And I'm not quite sure which point you want to make here, if it's something that a good use of AK-47s or an evil use, but, you know, it doesn't qualify as being used in a positive way, for sure. So, again, people are welcome to send in their examples of how automatic or semi-automatic weapons have been used in positive ways in this country. And I'll continue to read you stories like this. An employee opened fire Monday at the Northrop Grumman Ships System Shipyard, critically wounding two co-workers. The alleged shooter was charged with two counts of aggravated assault and was being held without bond. We have no reason for the shooting, authorities say, only speculation, and I don't care to go there right now. Let's see. A 9mm semi-automatic pistol was used in the shooting. There you go. So if you can give me an example of how these weapons are used in a good way, you know, you could ward off a criminal with, you know, a pistol. You don't need an automatic weapon. That's what I'm asking. Where does the automatic weapon come in? You can mow down a herd of deer, I suppose, if you feel your life is in danger. That would qualify. But you got to send me something that, you know, isn't from an NRA publication or something that is. I'm not going to do the same thing either. I'm only going to read things that are in the mainstream media. Not that I really have much faith in them, but it's neutral territory to some degree. All right, looks like we're out of time yet again, I'm sorry to say. But we'll be back next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. And don't tone it down. Good night.